But just keep that in mind that reviews are the future, and people are looking at your reviews and your feedback when they're hiring you. And I think my guest will definitely agree with that today. I want to welcome my friend Ryan Matthews from My Guy Plumbing. What's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm good, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, man. This is actually the first time we're doing two people in the studio, because when I put this thing together, COVID hit. Like, literally, I put this green screen up and all this backdrop, and then that hit, and I was like, all right, so now I got to do it remotely for everything, which I still do a ton of interviews, but there's nothing like this. This is the best, because you get interaction, you know, firsthand, and you can ask the craziest questions you just can't do because there's a delay when you're talking to somebody else. So, man, I really appreciate it. Ryan, tell our guests a little bit about yourself and your background and how you ended up coming to here in New Jersey, first and foremost, because like myself, you're a transplant. You came from somewhere else and then moved to New Jersey and then started your business.
Right. I'm I've been all over. So my father, he was in the Navy, so I was born in San Diego, actually. And then we bounced around. We ended up back in New Jersey. And by the third grade, he moved us down to North Carolina. And so I spent the better part of my life down there. I probably about have 20 years there and another 20 here. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Absolutely. What made you come back to New Jersey in particular?
Well, you know, my family was here. So he had actually passed when I was younger. I was about 14 when he passed away. So I lost everybody I knew down there. My brother had moved back. My grandmother was here. So I decided to move back up.
Makes total sense. I had something related. I sold my business back in 2013. And then when I sold the business, you had this thing called a non-compete. And if anybody knows that, non-compete is pretty enforceable when it comes to it. And I wasn't going to play with it anyway. But I had a choice to go to Chicago or New York. And my family had all moved to New Jersey. My sister moved to Jersey years and years ago than my parents did when my father was still alive. And it's the same thing. You know, you came here, and I love it personally. I mean, it's got its challenges just like anything else, but it gives you a pretty even playing field. Coming from Pennsylvania and then New York City and New Jersey, I'll take Jersey every day, because you have the amount of people that you can service, and you have the level of income that people can service, as long as you do the job right. And that's the real reason I wanted to have you here today. The biggest reason is you've been able to grow this brand. I'll tell you my quick story behind it. Obviously, you know where I live. I've seen your trucks go in and out of here multiple times. I've seen the trucks out on the road, and I always went, wow, that's a genius marketing plan. I love the name My Guy, because especially if you're from the Northeast, I got a guy. There's a guy. It's a, you know, you don't hear it as much outside of it, but here I got a guy. My guy will give you a call. And I'm thinking, that's about as good as Stanley Steamer using the yellow school buses right. for their truck, when everybody, the school bus trucks, they think it's a Stanley Steamer truck. So even if you have two Stanley Steamer trucks and you're a new franchisee, man, they think you got 50. And it was genius. And I think I really felt when I first saw that, I'm like, I got to find out who this guy is, man. This is awesome branding, awesome even positioning. It is on the branding side, because it's, and usually I don't say small companies can brand, but I mean, you have definitely put that to the test that you can. Who's your guy? My Guy Plumbing. So what got you to start in this field? Obviously, you probably did. You worked in the field first, and then you decided one day, you know what, it's time.
Well, yeah, I was actually a carpenter a long time ago, and I didn't like it. I'm not a fan of heights. So I had a falling out with my boss. I walked out that day, walked next door. There was a couple plumbers sitting there. I said, hey, you think your boss will hire me? And they saw my work ethic, and they're like, absolutely. So I was fired on Friday as a carpenter, hired on Monday as a plumber, and just I started doing new construction.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a different field. We have a common friend, Frank Hess, that you know, started in service, had the company in Pennsylvania, did installations. But, you know, that's the big thing. Service is one side of the business and new install. When I used to market a restoration company in Staten Island, I would go to people, and I heard about this, but I didn't really apply it in the past. I would go to every single plumber in Staten Island. And there's a lot of plumbers in Staten Island. And I'd market to them, not realizing that 50% of them were all new install. Right. They're never going to call me for a flood. They're never going to call me or they have pipe break, because they're not doing that stuff. They're doing new install. Maybe something will go malfunction, but they're going to fix it themselves. So literally half my market base was, you know, people that are never going to call me.
Right.
So it is a very big difference between people that install things from scratch and the service work, and they're two entirely different sides of the business. What do you think have some have been some of the things that really you can attribute to helping your growth? Obviously, your name is important, and that's it. But that has very little to do with your success. You have a lot to do with your success. So what have you found that's really helped define you aside from your name and your positioning, your branding?
Well, you know, we focused from the beginning. I focused on customer service. That was the most important thing to me. Making sure that we answered the phone when people called. If we didn't answer, we called back, and we had to get called back that day. And we just stayed on top of the customer service part. We made sure we showed up and did more than anyone ever expected to make sure that we were the person they thought about when they were thinking about plumbing.
I think that's a big thing. Obsessing upon customer service is something a lot of people talk about doing. It's what do they call that? Talking points in politics. It's this theory that, you know, we all do this, and everybody talks about it, but as they say, action speaks louder than words. People like yourself, I tried to do the same thing with our company. We're big on examples, and the reviews have set aside that and the feedback we get. And originally I just did the review stuff to get feedback. And before I knew it, you know, where can I put a review? When I'm like, how can I make it easy for you to give me a review? And then I found a system and software I talked about before that made it autopilot, that I could just send out, you know, literally every day and say, thank you, we'd love value feedback. And it does everything. I just got to put in information. But I think that's how people are purchasing today. If I have 10 guests, 10 people that call me, not 10 guests, 10 potential customers that call me, 8 out of 10 of them are saying, I saw your reviews, I saw your feedback, I saw this. I've had people literally say, you can't fake it that much. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that put faith, they have their cousin, their brother, whatever. And listen, I'm probably guilty of having my wife put a review on or something at a time because she did it in the last name. I mean, I've very minimal, probably less than 5 people I know wrote reviews. And then the hundreds and hundreds of others are literally our customers in our customer base. It's the defining moment in a business when people judge you on your customer service, or as I, you know, I had Jay Abraham up here, client service. I'm a client, like, a customer, somebody you might hear from once, and that's it, and they're gone. A client, somebody you're going to hear from all the time, referring their friends, their family. Some would call them raving fans. Some would call them all kinds of stuff. But I think that's very, very critical. In the time we're in right now, the biggest thing you hear from people is, I can't find people. I can grow my business. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm very picky when it comes to who I hire or who comes into the house. You got to have a squeaky clean record. You got to have good work ethic. I'm not hard to work with at all. I mean, generally, I'm pretty easygoing. I allow you to do your own thing, and I can tell you're much like that yourself. But how hard have you found it to find good quality people in this market base in particular today?
You know, I hear that all the time. Everybody tells me how hard it is to find a good plumber. So I constantly am looking to hire. So people call me all the time. Oh, everyone wants to come over. Everyone wants to work with you. So, you know, we go out to eat, we make a rapport. I put them in my phone. And if, you know, something happens and I need somebody, I'll go ahead and get them. But what I have found is that by the number one thing we do here, I said we focus on customer service, but we also focus on employees. So we give our employees probably a lot higher benefits than other places. We pay them very well. We make sure they have health, dental, eye, all that good stuff, 401ks. And there's a lot of extra stuff that we do to make sure that they're happy. Because if our employees are happy, we know they're going to take care of our customers. So the kind of ladder that we look at, I know a lot of people say customer first. I'm kind of like employee first.
I agree.
We do employee, customer, company. So as long as all three of those win in that order, I know that that everyone's going to take care of each other. And so that's kind of how we focus.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, the customer is obviously very important in the equation. There's no question about that. However, I couldn't agree with you more. If you have happy people working with you, you have happy technicians, you have happy staff that are going out and talking to people during the day, they don't sound like they've got 50,000 things, or they sound like they're half dead on the phone. You know, when you have that motivation, that drive, that's a big thing. A quick example, my wife often says she doesn't want me to let go of the reins to take on the phones because I have this skill to talk to people. similar to what I'm doing right now, is interacting and finding right. information and having that ability to talk. Because I'm Irish, I don't know, but it's still, that's what it is. And I says, listen, there are plenty of people that are more qualified to do this than I am. I mean, it's not that I'm not. I had to learn all these skills over time, just like an employee learns skills. Some people are better at certain things, and some people are you know, better at other things. So it really comes down to, you know, that motivation. And I'm sure every single one of your technicians are not exactly the same. So some might find a motivator, you know, in one particular area. And right. one might be a little bit better. Like one might be better at new install, that he's a good leader, making sure all the things are, you know, spec'd out correctly and ran correctly. And your service guy might have the better people skills that says, you know, he can do the same thing as the other guy, but he has a better people skills. He'll go in there and be professional, even if it's a long day, and still do what needs to be done. Cause in the business you're in, you never know when your day is done. I mean, you try to plan it. But it's not the reality of the world we're in. You know, mm-hmm. jobs are going to come in after hours, and although we try to keep them to a minimum, it's just the reality of the world we're in. There's a lot more people, a lot more people getting used to calling people to have that done. And it's a big thing. What are some of the lessons you can teach a company, you know, that is maybe a little bit smaller? You know, I don't know, how many trucks do you have now? How many?
We have 5 trucks. In October, we're going to have our 6th truck out.
That's awesome, man. And it's not, it's not a great period of time that you did this. You did this pretty quickly. Yeah.
We started the company, 2018. We've grown dramatically. And oddly enough, right in the middle of COVID was probably our largest growth. But I found that unless I keep adding trucks, we can't get to all our customers.
Right.
Because, you know, we're booked out so far, we're losing people just because they're forgetting that they booked with us. I mean,
right.
So we just keep going and keep going and keep building and building. And the goal is to be able to be a full plumbing service company. That's my goal. That's what we're working for.
Absolutely. I know you had talked about going into a different location, putting another location at some point in time to make it, because Jersey has one very big variable to it, and that's called traffic. And, you know, I lived in New York, traffic sucked there. But in New Jersey, it's just as horrendous on the parkways and on right. major roads. So you can't service your customers in a timely manner. It's somebody I had as a client one time that's saying, I don't want to put a shop. In fact, you want to put a shop in, you call it South Jersey. It's South Jersey, a little bit below this, but that's what was his thing. I don't want to put it down there because it's, you know, it's a waste of pay. And I'm like, you get parkway traffic in the middle of summer, your guy is, you're going to lose the job. It's just exactly. that simple. You know, somebody, they're going to get set fed up. They're going to call you. They're going to write you a bad review. They're going to probably get into it with somebody in your staff. If your technician happens to show up, they're going to take it out on them. It's not a good situation. It's never a good way to think. So I feel that strategically, same thing with us. I thought, you know what? I thought about opening a couple offices, one in North Jersey at some point and one out west toward Philadelphia. You know, that would be the long-term plan. And, you know, micro satellite offices, nothing fancy, but have a hub. And then that, I agree with you. And I think, you know, you're able to service your customers better. Yes, it's more of an expense on you, but it's more of an investment, I think, long-term into your growth with your company.
I mean, to get back to that question you were asking about what I would do for, like the smaller companies out there, what could you do to grow a little bit better? I talked about this yesterday actually with my SEO, my marketing guy, and he was talking to me, and he was like, he has a couple of companies he works with that it's hard to get them to push for reviews, right? And I did a little video for him yesterday, cause he's a great friend and he does a lot of great work for us. So I did that for him, and I'll tell you the same thing here. There's 3 things that if you focus on these 3 things alone, you should succeed. Number 1, answer your phone, right? That's, yes. I mean, as simple as that sounds, that's the number 1 thing. Oh, I got a plumber that called back, you know,
yeah.
I got somebody answered, a live mm-hmm. person answered. I get that all the time. Number 2, always do what you say you're going to do.
Yep.
You know, if you make a mistake, own that mistake, but mm-hmm. always do what you say you're going to do. And then number 3, reviews, man. Chase those reviews.
Yep.
I mean, we're living in an information world. That's where we are right now. We're living in a world where people want everything right now. And the easiest way to have everything right now is you're going to go online, you're going to look for what you want, and then you can do a little research on the reviews. So people used to ask me, it was like, Ryan, who are you paying for your reviews? And I tell them, I said, read the reviews, right. Read them. I mean, these are stories that people are putting up, you know, there's no way that I can come up with that much content on my own or pay somebody to do it. I mean, these are real people taking the time out of their day. Just tell them about our experience. And if you do those three things, you should be fine.
Yep.
I think so. I think you should be fine.
You know, the SEO guy, my SEO guy is the same parent company of the one that does my review management. They own everything. I've built a rapport with them over the years. I belong to a co-op. So the same SEO stuff that's in the Metro New York area is here, which benefits me, benefits them. We all don't pay a fortune to have the same thing. But even he said the other day, he goes, your reviews have grown so quickly that I don't even know if it's outpacing SEO. Like your SEO might be somewhat of a waste of time. And he goes, I'm being honest with you to tell you that. I don't think it's hurting, but you've been at it for a couple of years now with the SEO program. In fact, I started it the end of February in 2020. So what happens? You know, and then I call him. I said, what do you think I should do? He says, I believe in investment, but I said, what's your opinion? And he goes, well, if you can afford it, I would keep it going. You know, with no payment, it's uncertain. I can't give you a discount. It's what it is. But, and I wasn't asking for one, but I says, I already spent a couple $1,000 to get the thing going. He says, listen, I just get it going. It takes a few months to get going. It was some of the best advice. I'm like, I already spent it. Might as well just keep going.
Right.
You know, because if I just cut back and went like everybody else did and went, I'm going to cut off my marketing. I'm going to cut off all my promotions, my SEO, my pay-per-click campaigns, whatever it happens to be. They're now behind because they stopped. Right. And you have to make a tactical decision, just like a battle decision. You know, to say this is going to be the grit that is going to get me through it. The reviews have become the way people are making decisions today. I started writing the book last year, literally a year ago, called Welcome to the Review Society. And it's just, you know, now it's going to a publisher to get out. But it's everything. It's the feedback people. It's what others say about you. Had a customer on the phone, and I'm sure you've heard this story. And they're going, what makes you different from Stanley Steamer, from another company? What makes you different from any of these other businesses? And I says, it doesn't matter what I think. I could tell you 1,000 things that make us different that I feel, but it's all irrelevant. What is relevant is what you read from people online. So before we even talk any further, I ask you that you go online, go to NewJerseysBest.com and look it up and say, see what you think. Look at all the reviews, good, bad, or indifferent. Doesn't matter. I mean, they're not all perfect. And they won't be. Because we're not perfect and we try to be, but you know, we can't be perfect in every situation, even though we try. Something people that listen to this need to accept, you can't worry about, you try to fix it. Like you said, you fall on your own sword. If something happens, fix it, make it right. But ultimately, it's going to happen. If you're going to grow your company, there's certain things that are going to happen every single time. And one of them is going to be somebody's not going to be happy with the job. And you have to accept that and not take that personal. We all do. Especially in the beginning. And then after a while, you have to take a very tactical approach and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. One of the advantages you see in a larger company, and you may have run into this yourself, is that they have these more often. So you have to have a system in place on how to handle them. Well, the guys broke my chair. They broke this. You have to have something in place to do that. And the biggest thing I feel you could do is just pick up the damn phone and communicate and say, okay, we're on it. Don't avoid it. I've seen companies literally say, if I avoid it, it's going to go away. They're going to forget about me doing it. It's the dumbest tactic I've ever seen in my life, is saying, let's just forget about it. Yeah, they're going to remember. Here's another thing that's really important. And I'm sure you've run it to yourself. When I moved to New Jersey, around the same time, around 2017 or so, I found that a lot of businesses here weren't picking up the phone. Mm-hmm. They weren't calling customers back. They weren't showing up. You call 5 people to do an estimate. One shows up. You're probably not going to see the estimate. How much do you feel you can attribute your growth to your business by being responsible? I have no other word for it. I can't say just being responsible. The things your mom and dad taught you, you know, whatever, when you're young, the responsibility to be. How important do you think that is?
I think it's number one. I mean, what else can you do? I always wondered with those companies that don't show up, like, how did they find them? You know, like was it just the yellow pages? I mean, where did you find this company that didn't answer the phone? And why did you skip past this company that has an awesome track record?
Right.
You know, so answering the phone, I mean, is key. It's key. It gets hard when you know, like, we are a service company, but we are not 24/7. And there's a lot of companies out there that are 24/7, and they charge accordingly.
Right.
But so you know what? We don't answer the phone on Sundays. We do. That's a family day. That's one of our core values is family. We take the day off.
Right.
That's at our home everywhere. I answer phones on Saturdays until about 1-2 o'clock, and then we stop. But what we do is we always have an emergency line that we can check to make sure there's not a true emergency for any of our customers. But we always call every single one back. Let's say they don't leave a message. Doesn't matter.
Right.
I go through the phone and mm-hmm. I go down and I say, if there's a missed call from anybody, it might just be a telemarketer, but they're getting a phone call back from me because I don't know who you were. And you took the time out of your day to make a phone call mm-hmm. to me because you had a problem. I'm going to call you back. And that's what we do every Monday. We probably spend the first 30 minutes to an hour running phone calls and calling people back right. and making sure that they don't need us anymore. You know, they were taken care of, maybe not by us, maybe by someone else, but they're good. And so that's very important. I think that's like the highest level of importance right there.
And here's a bit, I had set up a system where people can book in real time online. I mean, they can look at my schedule. In fact, it's a little bit more of a pain on my end right now, just because I don't always see it immediately. I have to wait for an email to come through, and then it's a whole little process we're trying to work through right now. But I did it because I felt we are in a world where people, if they can't get somebody, they've accepted the fact that they're not going to get somebody on the phone. And it's true, especially after COVID, like companies I spend a ton of money with, I can't get on the phone.
Right.
All right. So it's not like it's important to them. They've now figured a way to do it. So I'm like, you know what? Went to a trade show and I says, online booking is nothing new, but real time, virtual, online, looking at the schedule, that's not real common. And you have to make it pretty simple for them to do, including any discounts that are out there, any offers, veteran, anything. It's out there. So I do that just to have it as a frame. But even if that goes through and the phone call comes through and we're like super busy and we don't want to answer the phone while it's super loud out, it's almost disrespectful when you're in there and all you hear is this big machine in the background. So we don't always pick up, but we always call back.
Right.
And even if they've booked the job online, we call back, see if they have any questions. I can tell you 5 out of 10 people didn't book online, couldn't figure it out. Doesn't matter. Maybe it's just they're not savvy in that field to figure it out, or they don't want to be bothered by it. You still call them back. We would lose probably 25-30% of those jobs if we didn't just pick up the phone, because they probably figure that was bad. Even though the message says, feel free to book online, we've listened to what our customers wanted. They wanted to have this virtual real-time booking situation, which is true. We took the survey. We found out the facts. People liked it. And I could see it by the way of growth of businesses like Amazon, other businesses where you can schedule online. It's a big, big thing. However, it's not everything. And we've found that making that phone call back and just reassuring, I'm sorry, we're on the line. What can I do? Can I help you with anything? That's many of those people say, oh, thank God you called. I tried to go online. I didn't have any luck with it. And can you help me out? And we're glad to. And now they're almost happy and thrilled and overjoyed that we actually took the time to call them back and answer their questions, because that is so freaking unheard of.
You did one thing that the other companies didn't do. Just one. And it's a simple, easy thing that takes very little time. Actually, the lowest cost to do, right? It's super simple. Just being responsible. Just like you said, I mean, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't thank you enough for being here today. Is there anything in particular you would like to go over here in the podcast that we've talked about? I don't never like to keep my guests more than 30 minutes on something, because your time is valuable, and I appreciate you having you here. I know you personally, so it's great to have somebody with your ethics and brains and ability to sit next to me doing these podcasts. So this is a first for me to do this, and it's a great honor to have you here doing it.
Well, no, not really. If you ever want to do it again though, you give me a shout. I'll come right over. I don't mind it at all. I love talking business, so it doesn't matter what it is. I like to talk about it. I like to grow my business. I like to see other people succeed. So to anybody out there who's running a plumbing company, as long as you're not my competition, find me. I'll help. I have no problems doing it. Someone helped me, and I made a promise a long time ago that I would I'd give back. So
yep.
Anytime anybody needs it, give me a shout. And like I said, Rob, pleasure being here. And anytime you want, I'll be back, man.
I like to do that because there is different aspects of things with your experience to do. And hiring is a big thing, and going through the prospect of finding right people. And some things that you've probably done, I know we've done that work to screen people out. Is a big thing. And I don't call it a screen, like to screen them out. It's literally, is it a good fit? Right. You know, I mean, that's again, a talking point. Some people say, are we a good fit for one another? Well, literally it's good to know that before they ever come in there. So you have some type of a program ahead of time to screen that out and figure out, are they going to be happy here even in the short term? Because we know that investing in employees, one of the most expensive you're ever going to have is training and mentoring and certifications and all that other stuff that comes along with it. You want to make sure they're going to be happy here and stick around for a while. I mean, you never want to hold somebody back if they really have that ultimate dream. You just want them very prepared for it if they want to do it, because I was good at running other people's companies, but when I went and started my own, it was a big shock. And I knew the logistics of how to manage a company, just not how to start one.
Right.
And that there was nothing around to figure that out. It was the oh shit moment. It hits you and you're going, well, I know how to do this, but if I spend money like that and grow a company like that, I'll be out of business in a year because it's not the same thing. So We've all had to learn that, but I appreciate it, Ian. Thank you so much. And yes, I'd like to have you back on, especially on different subjects. And you understand the plumbing world. I understand the plumbing world from the marketing standpoint, having people show me what they did in a house when I co-owned a water restoration company. I'd have them show me, well, this is what we're fixing. So if I talked to the adjuster, that's why I originally did it, was to be able to know what they were talking about. If the adjuster called and said, I can't get the plumber back on the phone, can you tell me what this is? And I explained to him, I said, I know you still need the report, but this is what was explained to me. I think this and this happened. Verify with them, whatever. But it was very helpful to know that side of it. And I was always fascinated with it because I have an engineering mind. So I always like to figure out mechanically how something works, how something is done. That's not my industry or not how my industry is done. And I love the service industry. That's why I do this, is because it's universal. There's always something. It's just they're different gadgets, different widgets, different stuff.
It's really important to talk to people that are not in your industry, because it doesn't matter what little nugget you get from them, but if you can apply it to your business, then it's, I mean, that's priceless. It really is. Number one thing to focus on for everybody should be culture, right? But culture needs to be, it's in every business. So it doesn't matter if it's plumbing, electrical, HVAC, you know, anything like that. Everything is relatable, but everything comes back to culture because, like I said, you got to keep the employees happy. You're going to keep your customers happy. It's a revolving wheel of happiness for everybody that's involved. So as long as everybody wins, you know, it's great to go ahead and talk to other trades and figure out how they're doing something because it may apply to you. You may be able to spin it to make it apply for you. So yeah, that's why I love talking to different people. And like I said, business is business, regardless of what industry you're in. Business is business, and we all have to learn to improve our own businesses. So
every day,
let's work together, man.
Absolutely, man. Again, it's Ryan Matthews with My Guy Plumbing here in the Jersey Shore at the moment. Never know where that's going to go.
No, we don't know. We might be going far, but we'll see.
You never know, man. I see it definitely coming. So again, Ryan, thank you so much. Appreciate you having you here. And guys, take a listen again to go to our website, robmlyon.com. It's robmlyon.com. The podcasts are also listed on there. Subscribe to our newsletter. And of course, check out our channels. You can subscribe to them and our YouTube channel as well. That's also Rob M. Lyon. And we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you real soon. Have a good day.